Amen. Would you please stand, joining me by reading God's Word? And today God's Word is coming from the last part of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. This is the reading of God's Word. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Severus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Please be seated. I wonder if you pay attention to a recent news. This news is about a small thing, really, literally about small things. Researchers are designing a device to decapitate mosquitoes so that they can extract the saliva gland from the mosquito for further research. But because they need to do thousands and thousands of mosquitoes, so they need to design a device to do that. Actually, they have a picture lining up all these mosquitoes before they being decapitated and after being decapitated. And researchers are extracting the saliva gland for research on mosquito-borne disease. So we know that one of the mosquito-borne disease is malaria. It has been plagued human race for a long, long time. And I record the history of malaria was in the beginning time when they discovered this kind of disease in Africa. They tried to treat those patients. There's no effective treatment. So what they what they could do was to support, to nurture the patients so that some of them, their immune system can come back and fight the disease. But they were very frustrated. Why was that? Because when they treat one patient, there are four and five more contracting malaria coming into the local clinics. So they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed by the amount of patients rushing in until one day someone discovered that the spreading of the disease was through mosquitoes. And in Africa, there was a lot of places with swamp, humid area, and then a lot of plantations and things like that that harbor the habitat of mosquitoes. So once they discovered that it was mosquito, the carrier, that spread the disease of malaria, then they start to deal with that by putting in mosquito nets, getting rid of draining those nearby swamp, and then they saw the patients coming into the clinic start to decline. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because today, this text, the last part of 1 Peter, Peter is writing this letter to address to a church that is suffering. And in a suffering situation, that we are easy to doubt a couple of things. First, when we are suffering, when we experience difficulties, the first doubt in our mind is, are we going to the right direction? Are we doing the right things? If we are doing the right things, how come there's so much difficulties and so much obstacle that we encounter? It's natural for us to think there must be something wrong with us. Secondly, a suffering church will have to address an issue internally. How are we going to deal with one another so that we can be united together to face the outward adversary, outward pressure, outward persecutions? So that was last 2 weeks when we look at the last part of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. On one hand, suffering confirming to us that God is with us because it has been predicted, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, that in the end time, God himself would come and he will refine those who belong to him, like refining silver and gold. So the very fact that we, or a suffering church, that going through difficult time, that facing persecution, doesn't mean that we are on the wrong track. Actually, the opposite. We are on the right track, and that is why we experience adversaries. And secondly, when we learn how to deal with one another in humility, whether those inside the church have power and those who are being ruled under the power, one under the authority, that we ought to regard one another, each other, no matter what position you belong to, with humility. Because God himself is a God who uplifts the humble and cut down the pride, the proud. Because when you are prideful, you put yourself against God. And there's no way God can minister his grace and his blessing to a person who rely on himself or herself, who disregard any authority in their lives. So Peter was addressing to a suffering church, and which also have implication for all of us today. Because one way or the other, in our Christian walk, we will encounter difficulties. We will face obstacles. We will face people opposed to us. It could be your boss in your office. It could be your co-worker, your colleague. It could be your family member that you accepted Christ. They try to disown you. They try to discourage you. They try to throw up all sort of roadblocks to prevent you to come to the church or to exercise your Christian faith. Now today, in this passage, the last part, Peter is talking to us about these kind of things, but he wants to frame us into the right mind frame, because the main point for today's message is proper recognition of the supernatural realm and its influence on us is crucial to our Christian witness and perseverance in faith. Let me repeat it again. Proper recognition of the existence of the supernatural realm is crucial for our Christian witness, and is crucial for us to hold firm, stand firm in our faith. Just like the research, the development of research of the disease malaria, the medical community was scratching their head. Where is that disease come from? Without knowing how that disease being spread, they were fighting a war that is so frustrated. They're fighting a war that is so overwhelmed to them. But once they can identify the carrier, the way, the mechanism, the disease being spread, then they can exercise certain kind of effectiveness in controlling the disease, in fighting against the disease. So it is true for all of us as well, because Peter advised us in this passage by beginning saying that be sober-minded, be watchful. It's a strong word. Sober-minded means you are on alert. And that on alert is not just by recognizing danger, but it's you are sort of like on your toes. That the moment that you smell danger, you can react, you can act upon it. So it's a word that's filled with energy and power, saying that not only you are on alert, aware of what's happening around you, but you are ready to act. So Peter is saying that be on alert and ready to act, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our Christian witness will not be effective if we do not know who is the real enemy. Our Christian witness will not be effective if we do not know who is our real enemy. The gospel helps us not to demonize our human opponents and not to minimize our ministry, our spiritual enemies. The gospel helps us to identify who is the real enemy, so that we will not demonize our human opponents, but rather will know to resist who to resist. I still remember that long time ago when I was in college, there was a testimony, a personal testimony was given by the pastor who pastored the Collegian Fellowship Group. He became a Christian. He was the first one in his family to become a Christian. And then he come to know his future wife, also a Christian. They start to date each other, and then they get married. And then God called them, they decided to devote their life for full-time ministry. It's precisely at that time, both sides of family severely, strongly opposed, and saying, if you go that way, we will not see you as my son and my daughter. They actually trying to disown them. After a lot of prayer, painful searching of their souls, a lot of prayer support, they decided to pursue that route. And then family pressure came down. It was so painful for them. Couldn't even go home. They continued to pray for them. They have the right perspective because they know it was not their parents. It was not their family members. But rather, there is a darkness. There is a dark power in the spiritual realm. The devil himself, that orchestrate, that pushing behind the scene for these kind of human oppositions. So over the years, they continue to pray. They long suffer in that journey. Nowadays, both sides of the family, the entire family, all the relatives become believers. Not just Sunday go to the church, but the two families, they wholeheartedly follow Jesus through years and years of prayer and long-suffering. Here's an example. I'm sure that some of us will relate to that. Maybe some of us, you are in such a situation. Stand firm, hold on, long-suffering. Because your human opponents, your colleague in the office that mocked you, that cracked jokes on your Christian faith, that cold shoulder you, elbow you in certain way, your friends from college, they laugh at your faith. Even your family member, they despise your Christian faith. They are not our enemies. They're simply being used by the devil. And here Peter described the devil, your adversary, the devil prowls around like a roaring island, lion. Roaring. If you go to the zoo, you saw those lions, but seldom we hear them roar. But the roaring of a lion, it inflicts fear in our hearts. Something could be very close to home. If you have been faithfully praying for the missionary of our church, you know some of them, they are facing opposition. It could be systematic political opposition in their mission field. And when you read those news, easily the first feeling coming to your heart is, it's so hard, it's so difficult, it's fearful. That is the effect of a roaring lion. It inflicts fear. Persecution, the first thing is it inflicts fears in our hearts. Try to discourage us so that we give in to the fear. Peter said it's a lion. And the verb that he used, the effect of the lion is seeking someone to devour. The devour is a very precise translation of the word. That means he just gobble you up, swallow you alive without even chewing. So quick, snap you and then swallow you. It's describing the spiritual warfare, the severity of it. Nowadays in Western society and culture, we downplay this aspect of the supernatural realm. While in other culture, they gave in to so much about the spiritual realm. But the gospel is teaching us there is a path that walks in the middle. We need to properly acknowledge and recognize there is a spiritual, supernatural realm. A lot of things happening over there. It helps us not to demonize our human opponents. But on the other hand, is not giving in to rationalism, scientism, that everything has to be explained by what we can see, by all the material world. The Bible teaches us there's a realm that we cannot see. That's non-material, but it's real. And our enemy is in that realm. And our whatever opposition that we encounter, whether it's coming from the culture, coming from the media, coming from our friends, our colleagues, our family members, these people, they are not our true enemies. The true enemy is the devil himself that resides in the spiritual realm. He tried to bring fear to your life. He tried to look for opportunity to swallow you alive, to snap you away from God. And Peter's strategy in verse 9 is saying, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There is a way to fight them. But that way of fighting them is not waging your weapon and go and charge the devil. But rather, it looks like passive. Resist, firm in your faith. Resist, firm in your faith. Firm in faith require our belief in God's goodness. That is a huge challenge. Because oftentimes when we encounter difficult situation, the first thing come to our mind is God good? Is he good if my family member is sick? Is he good when I lose my job? In a long and prolonged waiting. Is he good when I've been wronged by someone? And Peter urged us, resist him, firm in your faith. In that faith, in the applicable way, is to challenge us, do you still believe? Do you still insist that the God that you believe in is a good God? That even the situation surrounding me, I look at it, I could not see any goodness out of it. The brokenness that I'm in, the problem that entangled me, the wrong that people had done on my life, is he good? We actually see that goodness. Because, yes, you may be able to see the circumstances that you are in, the people that surround you being used by the devil as the vehicle to inflict pain and fear and to overwhelm you. But think about that. Today, we have the table set in front of us. Today is in the Lent season, that we remember the suffering that Christ gone through. But I want you to bring you before the cross on which Christ was hung on it. And one of the words that Christ said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is that them when Christ said it on the cross? In the immediate context was the people, the Jewish people, the Jewish leadership, the people who watch him being hung, being abused, being killed, being murdered. But in a wider context, it's actually including you and I. That we, our own sinfulness, our own doubts, our own rebellious attitude, we nail him on the cross. But yet, on the cross, Christ looked at you, looked at me, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We were once vehicle and tools of the devil. But yet, Christ on the cross gave us that forgiveness. Intercede for us. Pray for us. Cry out to the Father, even in his last words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot of us today, we know not what we are doing. We've been so overwhelmed and entangled in our problems. We are so focused on the pain in our lives. We are so taken and overwhelmed by the brokenness. So we know not what we do. But Christ said to you, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. For they know not what they do. Proper acknowledgement of the supernatural realm is crucial in our Christian witness. So that we know that those people who are opposing us right now, we were once like them. And therefore, we will not treat them as enemy, but rather, we'll intercede for them. But rather, we'll have a newfound mercy and compassion for them. And we can pray the same prayer as Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because they are not the enemy. Do not demonize our human opponents. But knowing there is a spiritual lion prowling and looking actively for someone to devour. Peter said, stand firm in your faith. Even though in the most painful time, even in the time that you felt most lost, the Bible tells us again and again, throughout the ages, throughout the witnesses, the testimony of all these characters in the Bible, that he is good. He is good to a degree that he can turn sinful things, sinful act, malicious act of other people into blessing to accomplish his good will without sinning. He is so powerful and he is so good. Maybe you cannot see that at this moment. But trust in him, because one day you will see that. Resist and stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Peter here brings out not only just Christian witness, but also proper recognition of the supernatural realm and its influence on us. Is crucial not only to our Christian witness, but also in standing firm in our faith. That brings us to the second point in today's text. First, in verse 9, Peter mentioned there's a brotherhood. That brotherhood is enduring the same kind of suffering, just like you and I. Whatever challenge in your faith, whatever preventing, try to pull you away from knowing and recognizing God is good and He's all powerful. And He's trying to pull you away from that. No, you are not alone. There is a brotherhood throughout the world that has the same kind of suffering, same kind of challenge that you are facing. So in other words, you are not alone. When you know, when we know that the kind of difficulties that we are going through, we are not the only one in the world, it will not ease the pain or the difficulties or the challenge that you are going through, but it will bring certain degree of comfort to your heart. First, you are not alone. Because sometimes suffering, pain, I always say pain makes us the most centered, self-centered person in the whole world. Have you ever banged your knee on some hard surface? When you bang the soft part of your kneecap on the hard surface, it's so painful. The whole world turns into certain kind of monotone color. Everything fades to the background at that moment. What occupies your mind, your heart, your emotion is the pain. So when pain comes, we tend to be the most center-focused, self-focused person in the world. That is what pain do to us. So when we know that there is a brotherhood, there is a community throughout the world that is going through the same kind of pain, it might help us to ease a little bit of that self-centeredness while we are painful, while we are in pain. Knowing that other people may be suffering even more severe than I am, and yet they can stand firm, they can hold on tight with Christ's love, perhaps I can be like him or like her. And that is why sometimes when we read testimonies, when we read books that people are talking about the losing of their son or fathers or family members, may help us. There was a book written by a professor in Westminster Seminary long time ago, the author already with the Lord. And he wrote his experience of his daughter while as a pastor, as a minister, as a theological professor. Her daughter engaged in a crazy lifestyle, immoral, left the faith, denounced Christian faith. And it was a long and suffering and painful journey. And he wrote a book named Barbara, Come Home. And the book, the beautiful thing was, the book was co-authored by Barbara, his daughter. After years and years of kneeling down and praying for his daughter, God bring her back. And when the father wrote a book about her daughter's testimony, the painful, long journey of a prodigal daughter, with this preface and the ending part of the book being written by the daughter, we saw a powerful testimony. And that book, if you struggling with your children of their faith, I recommend you. You can still find that in Amazon. Barbara, Come Home. By reading that, by listening, by seeing other people's testimony, they've gone through suffering, they've gone through problems, they've gone through challenges, maybe sometimes more severe than us, it actually sometimes brings us to certain kind of comfort. Rekindle our trust in the Lord and knowing that He is sufficient, even though I may not be able to see the light right now. God provide a brotherhood for those who are suffering. Not only God provided a brotherhood, but Peter continued to say that, and after you have suffered a little while, in comparison with eternity, in comparison with the goodness of God, in comparison with the program that he has in store for us in the future, this temporary current suffering is just a little while. Then God of all grace, Peter said, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. These four verbs, Peter comes out almost like one after the other, almost like a machine gun, blah, 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 came out to convey a kind of, I cannot wait, because God has promised that he will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. The suffering church, the suffering Christians, he will himself. Now, I want to bring to your attention in this verse, there's a little tension there, whether you can detect that. The tension is here. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you, God of all grace, God has called you, God has do this, God will come and restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. But you have suffered a little while. As if in the suffering, your endurance. And in the midst of that suffering, the God who has all grace, who will come himself personally to restore, to strengthen, to establish, and to confirm you. These are all God's work. He does all these things for you. But on the other hand, Peter also said, when you are suffering a little while, enduring that suffering. So you see, our faith enduring, standing firm in the midst of challenge and suffering, and God's work, God's gracious work of restoring, confirming, strengthening, and establishing, and God of all grace, these two come hand in hand. There is a tension in this verse. And Peter is urged us, when we are facing difficulties, when we are facing challenge to our faith, actually what happening is this biblical tension is at work. On the one hand, you are called to stand firm, to insist on God is good, God is all-powerful. What I experienced was not chipping his goodness away, it was in no way taking his power away. But on the other hand, I have to rely on God, because my well-being during suffering. Can I be restored? I cannot restore myself. I cannot confirm myself. I cannot strengthen myself. I cannot establish myself. These are God's word. These are God's work in our lives. And I'm waiting for him to do that. Our responsibility of standing firm and God's gracious act at this moment, in this verse, in this situation, come together. That is the key to the perseverance of faith, to the standing firm of our faith. We cannot stand firm on the faith by our own act. That standing firm has to be depend on what Christ personally will do and is doing in our lives. After all, he is the Lord of all grace. And in the following verse, Peter mentioned names. Silvanus, we do not know exactly who he is. Maybe Silas, could be. But we know that who Mark is. Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark, Peter's quote-unquote secretary, following him, helping him in ministry. And then we do not know whether Babylon is a code word for Rome. But nevertheless, by mentioning these names, Peter is reaffirming them. There is a brotherhood throughout the world that they are standing with you. They send their greetings. They send their love. They send their support to you. So he urged them, greet one another with the kiss of love. It's that love that we come from one another sustain us, help us to focus, continue to focus on Christ himself. And that's why he said, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's a doxology, it's a praise. If we are going through suffering, if you are in the middle of suffering, you might have a deeper understanding and appreciation of this text. For reason that we cannot fathom, God did not immediately release us from the suffering. But we do know that he has a plan. And we do know that he is all goodness and he's all powerful. He's allowing us to go through that because he has something far better in store for all of us. So in this Lent season, with this text today, I have two questions for you to meditate. The first one is, how is the devil to be overcome? What can we learn about overcoming the devil in this text? What temptation you may be facing now? And how does the teaching of this passage help you? At the weakness of your faith, at the moment that you start to doubt God's goodness, who can you run to? And a second question for meditation, what does verse 12 saying that this is the true grace of God mean to you? How did Jesus demonstrate that he is the true grace of God on the cross, particularly in this Lent season? While we were instrument of the devil, he cried out for you and for me. Now we belong to him, and we may face our human opponents. We may face difficulties. We may face pain. That is the exact moment we run back to the cross. And today, in front of us, the table spread out in front of us. So I invite you to bow your head, have a moment of prayer. Yes, it could be other people's wrong that put you in today's, in now situation. But you do sin against God in your thoughts, in your emotions, in your words, in your actions. Listen to God's word again in this passage. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Confess your sin in front of him. For he paid that price on the cross exactly for you.